Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 563-999-3065. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, that's 563-999-3065. Well, last night, folks, a very eventful Raw. The brand new women's champion was crowned. We got to see a lot of where the storylines are heading as far as Raw is concerned. And it started out with Pat McAfee and Cole in the ring claiming there's going to be a women's battle royal to determine who the brand new women's champion is. Now, they told us that last week, so them being in the ring really didn't mean much. I guess they just wanted to reiterate it for the people just tuning in and maybe getting them to stay to watch that at the very end. But here's the problem with this. The names that are in this battle royal actually embarrass the WWE, not because they're not good workers. They're all good workers. Because they have been booked so poorly that entire group, out of the entire group, there was only three possible people who could win. And out of those three possible people, one of them would be highly suspect. It would be very, very unusual to see Nia Jax win that. So really only had two and a long shot, let's say that. Out of your whole women's division? That's the best you got, huh? Well, that goes to show you one thing. You are not booking these women properly. Because you got a wealth of talent there. But no one believed anyone except Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan, or Nia Jax had a snowball's chance in hell of winning. Not a snowball's chance in hell. So that's a big problem, isn't it? That's a big problem. You really need to start treating your women's division a little bit better than this. Start with that, Mike. I mean, the Battle Royal announcement was, a little bit anticlimactic because you kind of knew it was going to boil down to the three women that eventually did.
Yeah, and that's sad. And they continually do this, though. They've done this before. I mean, King of the Rings or whatever, have they said, okay, X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C are going to be in the King of the Ring or whatever, right, and only three or four people have a shot to win it, and maybe just two are the favorites, right? So they keep doing this stuff. Doesn't surprise me that they've done it.
It's their own fault because they can't book these people. They're just not booking them correctly. It's just not. It's not that the talent's not there. It's not booking them correctly. So then we get Jey Uso, who is just, I'll tell you, he is really tremendously popular. The audience absolutely loves Jey Uso. Comes out to a big ovation, and he is interrupted by Damian Priest, who tells a very interesting story about one of the times that they had apparently had a match and Jey Uso had beaten him up pretty good, and he decided to take Jey Uso out for some drinks. And they prefaced it by then saying, well, at that time you said, we're next, and you're half right, because I was next. Then he says something that's blatantly true. He says, really, you're just the guy they're feeding me to make sure this belt looks good on me. Well, truer words have never been spoken. Of course, that's exactly what you're doing. You're going to give him Jey Uso as his first title defense, so it looks like he has credibility. So what he said was perfectly right. Now, Jey Uso tries to turn it around and says, actually, they're feeding you to me. which is the smartest line he can say, because at least it casts a little bit of doubt, is, well, maybe he's a transitional champion to get it around Jay's waist, and we're going to do Jay and Drew since they have such a bitter feud. So at least it casts a tiny little shadow of doubt, but that's not what's going to happen. So all in all, what does this do? Well, I got to tell you, Damian Priest has changed his gimmick and character quite a bit, obviously. I said on a post on social media a while back, I don't even understand why he keeps calling himself Damian Priest. He doesn't have any real ties to any gothic or dark or mysterious stuff at all. He's certainly just being himself. He wears a little bit of eye makeup. That's about the limit of his gothiness. And there's nothing about the Judgment Day that's remotely dark or scary or eerie or anything else. So it looks like they're pretty much finished anyway. It wasn't a bad segment. JD McDonagh tries a sneak attack on Jey Uso, did not work, and ends up getting Damian Priest super kicked. First trouble, to which Priest was very upset. Backstage, told him to stay out of his business and go attend to their business. Dominic Mysterio, by the way, wearing an arm sling, and that is not a fake injury. That is actual real injury, Todd. He's going to be out a little while.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Gail. Like you said, this whole thing with Damian Priest last night with him and Jey Uso, this is like a face promo, kind of. This is like the start of the face or neutral process of Damian Priest.
Yeah, and the problem with this promo, Mike, as far as I'm concerned, is if I was the one writing it and my job was to make it appear as though Jey Uso might win, I think I would have had Jey Uso be more the aggressor than Damian Priest. In other words, after Damian Priest told that story and Damian Priest said, you're right, we were the next ones, then Jey Uso could have said, well, I was half right. I'm the next one. You cashed in the Money in the Bank on a wounded champion that had already been beaten by somebody else. And now, in case you don't know it, they're feeding you to me. They clearly understand you're a transitional champion. And they're feeding you to me. Because I'm next. Then that would have made more sense. The way Damian Priest went about it, I don't know. It didn't convince me in any way, shape, or form that Jey Uso has a chance to win this match. We all know that Drew McIntyre is going to interfere in it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And we know that at some point, you know, what's going to happen probably relatively quickly with this whole situation with Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso being free, and probably by SummerSlam, something's going to happen with that and all that stuff. So, and we probably know where Jey Uso's head is, and it's not going to be, it might be at some point way down the line as a champion, but not right now.
Indeed, yeah. Again, the promo was okay. It's just, I think you could have done a better job of getting the fans to think that perhaps Jey Uso was, in fact, going to be the next champion. We then get Awesome Truth defending their belts against DIY. This is a pretty fun match. Every time I see R-Truth, I just say to myself, I don't know. What does he eat? What does he do? Because this is a 50-some-odd-year-old man who can do a split in the middle of the ring. And it's incredible, really. He is in some condition for a guy his age. That's all I can say. Very fun match. At the end, of course, Awesome Truth wins, and Tommaso Ciampa refuses to shake hands, seems very upset. Backstage, walks out of a backstage segment where he's being interviewed, saying this is pointless, there's no point to it. Looks like Tommaso Ciampa is probably going to do the heel turn. Which is interesting, because I thought DIY was pretty much going to be set as a tag team for, you know, the near future, Todd, but it looks like maybe we're going to see Gargano and Ciampa feud.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is going back to their feud back in the NXT, when they were back in NXT, when they had their little feud with Johnny Gargano was the heel, and then the Gargano family thingy, and Tommaso Ciampa was the being the face in all of this. Now this is like reversed, this time on the main roster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what it feels like. Anyway, yeah, pretty good match, Mike. But you know, again, here we go with tag teams breaking up as a storyline.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And you got, I mean, and you're right to say, you know, about what you said about R-Truth. I mean, him and Dustin Rhodes, right? What
yeah.
do these two guys do to stay in that type of condition at that age? What do they do? What fountain of youth have they found to be this way? I mean, it can't just be genetics. But that's not the here. One other thing I want to say about, isn't it odd that both mommy and her boy have the same injury?
Isn't it? And it's both real, which is really weird, isn't it? But, yeah, Bob, I checked on both, and both are legit. So that's interesting. So, anyway, backstage, Dominic says that Santos Escobar has to take his place with J.D. McDonagh against Ricochet and Andrade tonight because he's not cleared to wrestle. Damian Priest does not look happy about it. What I love about Santos Escobar is this, and I really think, I hope they use him better because he's starting to lose momentum, and he's starting to always lose his matches or be the guy involved in the match that gets lost eventually. What I love about Santos Escobar is he makes a very, very convincing heel. Whereas everybody else who's been dragged into the Judgment Day kind of like looks at Damian Priest and says, you know, if you want me to take care of the problem, I could do it. I can help if you want me to, almost kissing his ass. He looks at Damian Priest and says, you got a problem? Is there a problem with that? And Damian Priest says, yeah, there's a huge problem with that. And there it is, meaning Dominic's arm is hurt. But then accepts it. It's almost as though Damian Priest was surprised that Santos Escobar had that attitude. I think we're going to see something major happen coming up with Dominic Mysterio, Santos Escobar, and that whole El Legado del Fantasma thing. I really do. Anyway, Gunther returns. And I got to tell you, I was very disappointed in this promo. I know he says, well, I know what you think. I'm going to come out here and say a whole bunch of bad things about Sami Zayn, but I'm not. I'm glad that Sami Zayn won and set me free from this defending the belt because now I can go on to being the king of the ring and then choose whatever belt I want. What are you talking about? If you're so bogged down by a belt, why do you want another one? That doesn't make any sense. If he said, I don't want to be a champion, I'd just rather wrestle. That makes sense. But he said, no, I'm glad I'm not bogged down. Now I'll just go win another belt and I guess be bogged down. So I think it was a little weird. I wish he had just come out and said, look, in retrospect, is Sami Zayn a better wrestler than me? No. If I wrestle him 100 times, will I beat him 99 times? Yes. What did I do? I beat myself. Because I allowed Sami Zayn and a lot of you people to convince me that he's just not up to my caliber. And it wasn't until I really got in there that I realized he is a very good wrestler. He's not as good as me, but that was my mistake. So what I could do is I could just go take it from Sami Zayn, and it would be pretty easy. But I thought about it, and I said to myself, maybe that's not what I want. Maybe I want something more. That would have been a hell of a lot better promo than basically saying I don't want a belt so I can get another belt. It sort of didn't make any sense, Mike.
It sort of did make a sense, but, I mean, again, at least they're trying to do something with him, and at least they did pull the trigger on something that we kind of expected to happen before this, but the whole thing with Vinci.
Yeah, so now what ends up happening is New Day comes out and kind of rants and raves about things, and finally Gunther says, well, this is beneath me, and I'm just going to let Imperium take care of it. Now, I love the line that Xavier Woods said where he said, we're going to fight you again. This is getting ridiculous. We could constantly fight you. It's getting boring. That's true. That's very true. But they did it anyway. And this match was really just for one purpose, and that is obviously Kaiser turning on Vinci. And at first thought to myself, well, I don't know if he's really turning on him. Maybe this whole idea is just going to be that Vinci's the whipping boy. And if he doesn't win, he's the one that gets beat up and then just comes dragging his ass back, apologizing, and they just keep doing it. But no, it looks like it's done. And backstage, we saw Ludwig Kaiser kind of get the nod of approval from Gunther that that was the right move. There is no doubt in my mind they will have another member. Not sure who the member is going to be, Todd, but I think we're probably going to see Imperium add somebody to their roster.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they might add another person. I think I heard something about Ilya Dragunov being on the main roster or something as a member of Imperium.
That would be interesting, considering right now he's such a face character. That would be kind of interesting. Mike, you know, this is two tag teams. They sort of split up in one night because even though the Tommaso Ciampa thing's not official yet, it certainly looks that way.
It certainly looks that way. And you know who else is still floating around? His contract is coming up with the company he's in. That's Alexander Wolf.
Yeah, I heard that, and I'll tell you who else I've been hearing is Dominik Dijakovic. So, I don't know. I just think Imperium will obviously add another member at some point. Not a big fan of just breaking up tag teams for feuds, and I think that's two now, and one Monday Night Raw is a little bit too much, but we will see. Next up, Drew McIntyre comes out to cut a promo. These are quickly becoming my favorite parts of Raw. Drew McIntyre is a very, very good promo, and to my knowledge, he has still not signed his contract. I don't know what's going on. Very, very unusual that they're promoting him this much, and he has not signed a contract. By the way, we should add that Finn Balor did sign a multi-year contract with the WWE after teasing he wasn't going to. He tweeted, I want to thank WWE for the 10 great years, and having given it a lot of thought, I've decided that the best position for me in my current state is to go absolutely nowhere, and he signed for what I hear is 5 years. Anyway, Drew McIntyre's promo. He comes out. He is right on the money again. He gets the crowd to stop chanting Watt by baiting them into saying, you say what, you're French kissing your cousins or whatever. Tells the cameraman not to shoot up his skirt. The things he says is actually pretty true for the most part. And then, much to my surprise, Sheamus comes out. And Sheamus pretty much tells him like it is. Says, I don't know what you're whining about. You're letting CM Punk get in your head. And it's costing you your career. You had the title. And you blew it. You totally blew it, which is true. I don't know what's going on with these two, but this is going to be a fascinating story, I think. Because Drew McIntyre then says, well, you know, you said we had banger after banger after banger. Since you've come back, it looks like you've had burger after burger after burger. Then says quickly, well, that's what the boys in the back are saying. I stuck up for you. But that's what they're all saying. I got your back because I'm your friend. So I'm going to sit out here and watch your back while you have your match with Shinsuke Nakamura. And at one point, it did actually look like Drew McIntyre could potentially interfere to help Sheamus when Shinsuke Nakamura was setting up for his Kinshasa. But turns out that he didn't hit it anyway. Sheamus does beat poor Shinsuke. It's just a punching bag at this point. I will say this. Sheamus looked very out of breath and looked like his cardio is not what it should be. He probably does have to drop a few of those pounds to get back into ring condition. He did say, well, I can drop the pounds. You can't drop stupid, to Drew McIntyre, which was funny. These two are very good together. Whatever you decide to do with them, I don't necessarily think you can lose. If you decide to feud them, I think that's a win. If you decide to make them partners, I think that's a win. I'm not really sure anything you do with these two guys together is a lose situation, Mike, so they've got something good there.
Right, and if they decide to make them a team, that's going to help Sheamus get back in the shape, all right?
Yep.
Because he's not going to have to do much and all that stuff. But, again, I still want to see those matches between him and Gunther and Drew McIntyre were great, were really old-school matches. And I would assume it's going to be the same way with him and Sheamus. I want to see those matches.
It'll be very interesting to see where this is going. I don't really know. I just don't think you can lose either way you want to go. You want to make them adversaries? That's fine. You want to make them friends? That's fine, too. That's great. Now, backstage, we have a problem, in my opinion. Sami Zayn, who's just become the champion, is attacked by Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed says, I'll take that belt anytime I want to. We all know Bronson Reed's not taking the belt. We all know you're not going to elevate him to that status. You don't think that highly of him. It's just the Sami Zayn first title defense thing. Fans ain't into it. This is not what Sami needs. Sami doesn't need the credibility of, oh, let him get through a few challengers. Sami needs immediately to get into a feud with someone who is possibly could take the belt. And this Bronson Reed thing is just a distraction. I don't think any of the fans are into it. If you were going to do this, then I would assume you would have kept Bronson Reed relatively undefeated. They didn't do it, Todd, so I don't think anybody really cares one way or the other about Bronson Reed versus Sami Zayn.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole thing Sami Zayn and Bronson Reed here, and like you said, nobody don't really care about that feud. And like you said, I don't think Bronson Reed is ready for a mid-card champion. He should have been all right, but probably too late for him to be a mid-card champion.
I tend to agree with that. And Mike, to add insult to injury, directly after you basically say Bronson Reed is the next challenger for Sami Zayn's title, and you show him backstage beating up Sami Zayn, you immediately do an angle with the Alpha Academy where Chad Gable is saying he's going to be the next champion, basically telling people flat out it isn't going to be Bronson Reed.
Right. And if you were going to do that, then you didn't need to show Bronson Reed beating up Sami Zayn. I mean, I don't want to see Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed, whereas I do want to see Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable.
Right. Right. And that's why it should have never been Bronson Reed. You should have just ran with Chad Gable is now determined to be the one, the contender. Forget Bronson Reed attacking Sami backstage. What's that got to do with anything? All you've done is telegraph that Bronson Reed's not winning. Because then if the Alpha Academy target Bronson Reed, fans don't care. So obviously it's going to be Sami Zayn they target, and obviously that's where it's heading. So you've given it away. That's just bad writing. Anyway, Chad Gable comes in, basically says that tired of the Alpha Academy underperforming. He said all Tozawa does is do a little funny dance and then lose and amass a losing streak. He said that Maxine looks like a princess but wrestles horribly and can't win. And he said the biggest disappointment of all was Otis. Otis gets a big pop again. What are we waiting for here, folks? What is it that we're waiting for? The minute Otis's name is even brought up, the crowd starts chanting Otis. I don't know what you're waiting for. Quite obvious that the fans want a reason to root for Otis and to elevate him, and you're not allowing it. And I just think that's dumb. Strike while the iron's hot. Now, maybe you got something in mind because it was Otis that got picked on the most and was forced to say no matter what, Chad Gable was going to. They were all going to unite to make sure Chad Gable's the Intercontinental Champion. Maybe this is going to lead to, from what I'm hearing, it's going to lead to Chad Gable forming a new Alpha Academy with the Creed brothers. And they will take on probably Otis and I guess maybe Tozawa, and I don't know who the third person would be. Maybe there'll be another Alpha Academy member or a member of their stable. I don't know. Either way, if it elevates Otis, I'm okay with it. If it gets us to Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn again, I'm okay with it. I just wish the WWE would realize you got something with Otis. And it might be time to strike while the iron's hot there, Mike.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't know who else they would put with Tozawa and Otis. I mean, what's his name is you know he is taken. R-Truth is taken, so you can't use him. I mean, who else can it be unless they're gonna bring back. Maybe bring back Tucker or something like that. Bring somebody up from NXT. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be something. That's an interesting storyline. We'll see where that goes. I just wish that the WWE would realize that they got something in Otis and really run with it. How long are you going to just keep them there in limbo before you do something? But it was a good promo, very good promo. Now, the backstage segment that was interesting right after this is that Dominic Mysterio comes in to basically harass Ricochet, saying, well, I was looking forward to beating you up tonight, but unfortunately I'm not medically cleared to wrestle, so I guess you're just not going to be able to do it. Ricochet says, well, nobody was more disappointed than me, and they get into a little whatever, and Ricochet storms away. When Dominic turns around, Liv Morgan is there, and they do a little bit of an eye-to-eye where something's obviously happening. This is the furthering of there's going to be no more Judgment Day soon. Dominic is breaking away. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with Liv Morgan. By the time Rhea Ripley gets back, she'll be a full-fledged heel whose group have deserted her. Her man has deserted her. And it makes her basically a lone wolf in the Federation, and she'll be that big hero type situation. We had said this from the very beginning, Mike. We said if you really want to make Rhea Ripley a face, you got to get her away from Dominic and make Dominic the heel, and it looks like that's exactly what they're going to do.
Right, and this will help. This will help if you're trying to make Liv Morgan a heel. This will help that, too. Because Dominic still has that almost nuclear heel heat. I mean, there are times when he tries to talk and they can't. I don't think it's just participation when he does what he does. You know, I think people just hate him. You know, and that's going to help Liv Morgan if you're trying to make him. And who's to say that? You know, she attacked Rhea Ripley. We don't know who attacked, how he got his arm hurt. It could have been him that attacked her that attacked him too. So, you know, there's a storyline there to be told about how his arm got hurt.
Yeah, there's certainly something going on with Liv Morgan. I'm guessing she's going to turn heel, and I'm guessing she's going to be with Dominic. That would be my best guess. I don't know, Rhea's going to be gone for a number of months, so you got plenty of time to tell that story. And we'll see where that goes. So it, instead of, obviously, Dominic and J.D. McDonagh, it ends up being J.D. McDonagh and Santos Escobar against Ricochet and Andrade. It's clear you have no idea what you want to do with Andrade. It's clear you brought him back as a favorite of Charlotte Flair. It's clear that when you brought him back, everybody was scratching their head saying, what do we do with him? Do we make him a heel? Do we make him a face? Do we let him go with the Judgment Day? Does he go with LWO? Does he go with El Legado del Fantasma? Does he go on his own? And the answer is, we don't know. We don't know. This is not helping Andrade. I'm telling you right now, this is not. You can do all the little segments you want with Andrade talking about, I didn't want to be a part of the Judgment Day because they just wanted a slave. I want to see Andrade do something, not just being a tag team with Ricochet against J.D. McDonagh. It's time that Andrade took some sort of a stand against somebody, and it's not happening. And I got news. He's a great wrestler. I've told you, one of my favorite all-time matches was Andrade versus Johnny Gargano. However, he is languishing here. He's not getting over with the crowd at all. Not at all. And it's a problem. So you're going to have to solve this. You're going to have to figure out what you want to do with Andrade right away and start doing it. Because already his big debut has sort of been wheedled down to, oh, yeah, Andrade, whatever. That's not good. That's what AEW does a lot. WWE usually makes the most of their signings. This guy, you brought him in, and you're just like, we don't know. Throw him in a tag team here. Throw him in a match here. Throw him in a match there. You don't seem to clearly have a direction for him. And I think that's going to hurt Andrade in the long run, Todd.
I think absolutely, like you said, this thing with Andrade, when he was before in the WWE, he was not too happy. Then he went to AEW. He was not happy. Now he's back, and he's still not happy where he's at.
I mean, I don't know if he's happy where he's at, but he's certainly not getting over. That's the thing. You can clearly see the crowd. It's you know, sort of lukewarm to him, Mike.
Right. And you know what didn't help at all is just before he came back, Charlie gets hurt.
Yeah,
you know,
that doesn't help, obviously.
You know, and that's the thing. I think they did have plans of putting those two together, but Charlotte gets hurt, you know. Now, Charlotte's going to come back relatively soon, but, you know, when she comes back, how far down the ladder will Andrade be? You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. We'll see, because by then it's, the career could have just hit the shitter. That's the problem. You got to do something with him. The standout in this match, surprisingly enough to me, was Escobar. Escobar wrestled great. The Hurricanrana to Ricochet on the floor was awesome. You got to run with Escobar, too. You got to let this guy be a tough guy to beat. You can't let him be an also-ran. You can't let him be a lower mid-carder who other lower mid-carders can beat. You got to start to elevate him if you're going to do anything with him. Otherwise, just forget it. So Damian Priest ends up coming out, wipes the floor with both faces, and yells at McDonagh, yells at Dominic Mysterio. There's no question in my mind. There's no longer a Judgment Day, basically. Finn Balor wasn't even there. We're looking at the end of this. I wouldn't be surprised if Balor and McDonagh form a tag team, which would be great. That'd be the best use of Balor since he's come here to the WWE. If you have Balor and McDonagh form a tag team, I think you have. I will watch Balor and McDonagh fight the New Catch Republic all day long. All day long. Give me that match. I'm happy. That'll be great. And I think that's the best use of Balor. Let Dominic go with the El Legado del Fantasma. That sounds great. And start promoting them. Let Damian Priest turn face, be on his own, fight a few of the Judgment Day guys, and then whatever happens to be, happens to be. I think it's a fantastic idea. You just got to do it. And then Rhea Ripley, same thing. She's just got to come back to the flat-out face. Anyway, time for the Women's Battle Royal. And here's the people who have participated in this. Candice LeRae, yes, she's going to win. Indy Hartwell, yes, she's going to win. Maxine Dupree, yes, she's going to win. Ivy Nile, Caden Carter and Katana Chance, they're tag team wrestlers. So is Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, by the way. And so is Maxine Dupree and Ivy Nile. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, more tag team. Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, more tag team. You literally had five people who weren't a tag team. Nia Jax, Natalya, Liv Morgan, four people. Nia Jax, Natalya, Liv Morgan, and Becky Lynch. There were four women in this match that wasn't an active member of a tag team, current tag team. That's unacceptable. That's absolutely unacceptable. I woke up this morning to a lot of people saying, how in the world does the WWE miss the boat and not have Liv Morgan win? Well, let me explain to you why this was a really good move by the WWE. Liv Morgan's turning heel. Can't turn heel if the fans pop for her when she's a champion, and they probably would have popped for her. Number two, Liv Morgan was a champion once, and it didn't work out so well. Number three, when this happened to Rhea Ripley, this is the equivalent of like your quarterback going down, right? She was the quarterback of the team as far as the women's division. You got to put in your next best player. Your next best player isn't Becky Lynch. Who is it then? It's obviously Becky Lynch. So, yeah, you got to go with the person that you think is going to be the most dominant, and that'll be Becky Lynch. Now, could Liv Morgan potentially take this before Rhea Ripley comes back? Yes. With Dominic's help, that could very well happen. And it might be okay, because then you can get obviously, Rhea Ripley to come back and realize that Dominic is no longer her guy, and he would actively help Liv Morgan if he can to beat her. It would be interesting. What's sad about this main event is that it shows that your women's division is not being used properly. All you had was women's tag team wrestlers and then Natty, Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, and Nia Jax. That's it. That's it. That's sad. Perfect world, you could have had Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, certainly, and I would argue even Piper Niven and perhaps Ivy Nile built up enough so you say it's possible, but you didn't. You just threw them together in tag teams that we never see. And then when there's there's an all-inclusive match, throw them in there. You know, it's the equivalent of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It's just like all the leftovers. That's what it feels like. This women's championship doesn't feel like it's even really a legitimate championship because you got three contenders. Three. Time they started building up this women's division, Mike, or I think fans are going to lose interest.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at on SmackDown, that division, and you have, even though they're in a team, you got three people that they're pushing, what's her name, to the gills, even though she's untalented. The EST, and you got Naomi, who are both ex-champions, that if they decide to push them, they can't be champions again. Okay, they can't be the champion again. You got the current champion that's on the show there. So you got at least four or five people on that show on SmackDown that you can say, okay, maybe, you know. And one other thing I want to say about Nia Jax before I talk about her, they need to do something with that, whatever that thing that gear that she wears, because it doesn't do her any justice. was watching her coming into the ring, coming into the building, as they were telling me, she's going to be in a match and all this other stuff. And she said, yeah, she's a big girl, but she doesn't look it. Out of that ring, yet she doesn't look it, all right?
Yeah,
she looks like your normal plus-size model, you know? And
yeah,
that thing makes her look like a bowling ball, whatever that thing that, whatever, I guess that's what they want, but whatever that thing she wears is not, doesn't do her any favors.
No, you're right. And listen, I'll tell you something else about her. There was a couple of times in that match, yet again, I held my breath and said, oh, that didn't look good. Oh, boy, that came close to being catastrophe. She's still not what I would call extraordinarily safe. I don't know if she's ever going to be. I think what you're seeing from Nia Jax, this is it. This is what you got. It's not going to get better. It is what it is. And I don't know. I think even the WWE knows it. Because if you notice, they haven't been using her tremendously. They used her a little bit, and then, oh, we're going to build her up big for the one shot, and then she sort of cycled down, and they use her here and there. But she's not in an active feud. She's not doing anything major. And it just feels to me like the WWE is saying, yeah, well, it's one more person to add to the roster, but, you know, we're going to sparingly use her. And that's what it feels like to me. And maybe for good reason, considering some of the stuff I saw last night. Having said that, I don't want to put down any of the women that I've just said are not contenders. If you take a look at this list, Ivy Nile is a fantastic wrestler. Candice LeRae is a fantastic wrestler. Indy Hartwell is good. Kayden Carter and Katana Chance, both great. Chelsea Green's fantastic. Piper Niven could be fantastic. Shayna Baszler, at one time, when she was tearing it up in NXT, I said, man, she's the future of the women's division. She's going to be the person. She's going to be the top heel. Zoe Stark, mega fantastic wrestler. But you're not promoting them. So we're not led to believe they are contenders. We're not led to believe they are good. We're just led to believe they're also ran. You're doing a terrible job with this division. And as Mike pointed out, Raw's doing a terrible job, while SmackDown is actually doing a pretty good job. You got a lot of people on SmackDown, right? Kairi Sane, Io Sky, Bayley, Bianca Belair, Naomi. If you want to throw in Jade Cargill, who's terrible, but you're promoting her as being not terrible, so that's six or seven people. You got three over here. They're doing a much better job. Much, much better job. So, yeah, Raw's got to catch up to that. So, anyway, Becky Lynch wins. It is what it is. I think it's a good decision, Mike. I know a lot of people are really mad about it, but I think you got to go with your all-star when tragedy strikes, and they did.
Yeah, and they did. And as far as Nia Jax, I tell you what, if Paul Heyman was in charge, is somewhat charged, I would say Paul Heyman would maybe turn Nia Jax into kind of a 911 type of female wrestler. Use her very sparingly, but use her when needed, and to basically beat the crap out of people. And she could, if they use her right, she could be that female wrestler that when you hear her music, it's not going to matter if she wins or loses. Somebody's going to get fucked up.
Yeah, I agree. Fortunately, we're going to find that the fans were wrong. Fans all the time said, yeah, Vince McMahon is holding back the women's division. Triple H wants to do all this, and he wants to do all that, and he would love to, you know, and what are we seeing? What are we seeing? You have a roster full of extremely talented workers. We can't find Nikki Cross on a map. I don't know the last time I've seen several women's wrestlers who just went missing. Your Chelsea Green's being used as a punching bag. Piper Niven's the punching bag's partner. Ivy Nile has been totally negated after debuting her as going to be somebody special. She just negated, completely negated. And I just don't know. I don't know what you want. But it's obviously not Vince who did this, because Vince has nothing to do with it now. And we just saw a battle royal where there's only three people who could possibly win. And I can tell you right now, I knew personally Nia Jax wasn't one. So it really was just two for me. And then to add insult to injury, you make sure those are the last three people in the ring, which just underlines it with a magic marker, a highlighter. Yep, those are the only three that matter. Couldn't you have at least had one of the three in the ring be an underdog? Couldn't you have done that? Nope. This was your moment to maybe make a star, right? Don't make her give her the championship, no. But maybe you just have it be like, well, I don't know, let's say Zoe Stark. Let's say Zoe Stark breaks out and she eliminates Nia Jax, and then somehow she eliminates, let's say, Liv Morgan, since you want Becky to win. And then it looks like she eliminates Becky, but Becky hangs on. And then she eliminates Zoe Stark. Well, then people would say, hey, Zoe Stark, you know, she hung in there till the end. She was damn near the woman's champion. No, you couldn't do that, Mike. You just had to go with the three, you know, favorites and to hell with the rest.
Absolutely. And we know for, I mean, almost a fact that Alexa Bliss is going to come back. We know that, right? And when she comes back, probably so will Nikki Cross. So there are two extra people that if they can find a way to promote them the right way, they can add to that division, you know? But I don't have any confidence that they can do that. Well, maybe they can with Alexa Bliss, but Nikki Cross when she comes back, I don't know.
By the way, the QR code that you saw during the Chad Gable promo, it led to a website where it said if you punch in the number of senses, you'll get the answer. So the number of senses you have is five, obviously. You punch in five and you get a video. And yeah, I'll let you guys look at the video itself. It's clearly the Wyatt family. It looks like it's going to be the Wyatt 5 instead of the Wyatt 6 now. And apparently they're doing something with Nightbird, because that's what's always being played in the arenas and that's what they're showing is the bird. The interesting thing is if you go to that website and you punch in something other than the number 5, it'll give you different answers. Like if you punch in the number 5, it gives you a video. But if you punch in the name Bray, it'll say remembered. It'll come back remembered. If you punch in, did somebody else punch in? I think somebody else punched in Bo, and it said yup or something like that. And it'll give you different answers if you punch in different things, which is kind of interesting. But it'll only give you the video if you punch in the right thing, which is 5, the number 5. Video is pretty creepy. Very, very much looks like it's an Alexa Bliss thing. I would imagine that that's going to be the first person you're going to see when the Wyatt 5, if that's what it is revealed, is maybe Alexa Bliss coming back and perhaps even leading the charge. Maybe she's going to be the leader of this. Maybe it's not going to be Bo Dallas. I don't know. I mean, Uncle Howdy don't talk that much. When he does, it's that weird mask thing. Maybe it's going to be her that's the leader of this whole thing. What I've heard is Bo Dallas, Braun Strowman, Eric Rowan, Alexa Bliss, and possibly Joe Gacy. That's what I've heard. They're certainly running with Bray Wyatt's idea, which, you know, I've talked to some people, and it's a 50-50 with them. A lot of Bray Wyatt fans are saying, I think it's a little bit disrespectful, and I think they should just let it die with Bray, and it's not going to be the same, and it's going to kind of tarnish his ideas. And then the other half are saying, if it's done right, it's almost like Bray is still, you know, booking. He's still got a voice in wrestling somehow. I tend to agree with the second part. I think that if you do this right, it's honoring him. It's not diminishing him, Mike. And I think the WWE has to know they have to do it right.
Yes, if they do it right, they're not going to, you know, they're going to be honoring him, and that's what they want. And here's the deal. You know, you got Bo Dallas as his family, right? You know, you could work it to where, again, and we know that a lot of the Bray Wyatt gear is going toward the family, but you can also work it to where a lot of this whole whatever it's going to be, wide pipe or whatever, is going to go toward whatever, you know, the family as well. But again, this is going to be fun, interesting to watch how they, because it's going to take a great deal of finesse, and over the past say 6 to 8 years, the WWE has not been able to do finesse very well.
Right. That's exactly correct. Let me give you an analogy. The WWE, when it comes to finesse, is like trying to pick fly shit out of black pepper with boxing gloves on. Okay? They just can't do it. They just can't finesse it. So I'm hoping that this time they realize if you blow this, it's going to be considered disrespect. It's going to be literally considered disrespecting a deceased person's ideas and memory. So you better do it right. You better do it right. Because if you don't, you're going to raise the ire of a lot of fans. Now, Alexa Bliss, that's a key part of this, in my opinion, because the fans love Alexa Bliss, and she plays that character so well, and she loves playing that character. And if she's going to be at least leading the charge or one of the people leading the charge, it's probably going to be decent. And I know Bo Dallas is a pretty good actor. I don't like the Uncle Howdy thing, though. You know, I've watched it. I've seen him come out. I've seen the mask. I've seen the whatever. I don't care for it. It doesn't strike me as something you can that has a long-term future. So I'm hoping they take my idea and they just have Bo Dallas come out as Bo Dallas, looking different maybe, sounding different maybe, but still being Bo Dallas. And if you want to do that alternate character of Uncle Howdy, that's okay too. But let's see Bo Dallas be Bo Dallas too. So that way we don't have to get a guy in a mask just nodding his head while a sound comes out from someplace else like the Shockmaster back in the day, Todd.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, with this whole Bo Dallas and the Uncle Howdy thing, I don't think it will work him doing the Uncle Howdy thing. And if you have Bo Dallas to come back, as Bo Dallas as himself, do not be like, don't do that. Do be like more serious of Bo Dallas, like a darker.
Well, he's going to have to be. Yeah, he's going to have to be. Now, I will tell you this, Mike. The videos are very dark, and they're every bit as good a quality as the ones Bray Wyatt did. They're extremely weird. There's a lot of like little nuances in there that you got to catch and say, oh, there's that. Oh, there's that. So they are carrying on that tradition, at least so far.
Right, and that's the thing. Look, here's something else to think about. There is this, at one point, Bray Wyatt had this YouTube channel called It Begins Again, I think that's what it was called. And on that channel, he posts videos every now and then. Now, the last thing that was posted, or one of the last things that was posted by Bo Dallas. And he said, my name is, you know, Rotunda and this, that, and the other. I used to be this. I used to be Bo Dallas. But that's not me anymore. Or that's just one part of me, basically. I mean, if you want to go watch that video at some point, basically that's what he said. That's what we said that he should say. That's just all these characters, all these things are just one part of me. That make up the total me is basically what he said. So, you know, it may not be Bo Dallas. It may not be the Uncle Howdy, totally. It may not be, you know. What...
No, because they're really seeming to promote this Nightbird thing a lot. Like the song, the bird is in every video. There's graphics of a bird. They seem to be doing some. I don't know whether that's going to take the place of fireflies. Is going to be Nightbirds now? I don't know. But I know this Nightbird thing, Mike, has to have something major to do with it because it's every single one of these videos.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. But to all your listeners of the show, I would go and check out that YouTube channel just to see some of the stuff that Bo Dallas had put on that YouTube channel, before, you know. As
yeah.
we were talking
Very
about him making
stuff.
Coming back.
Very
yeah.
interesting stuff for sure. So, listen, Raw last night, we got a new women's champion. That's a big thing. Two tag teams broke up. I guess that's a – well, one did. One's going to. Looks like also Judgment Day is breaking up. So, a lot of breakup stuff last night on Raw. The writing's starting to feel repetitive. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'll tell you something else. I do like Damian Priest, but, man – when he's in that ring with that championship belt, he don't feel like the champion. He just doesn't. It's not. He's not Seth Rollins. So you got a problem there, I think. We'll see what happens. This one is the middle of the road for me. I'm going to give it a C, Mike, just a flat C. It was enjoyable, but a lot of it was repetitive.
Yeah, a lot of it was repetitive. I enjoyed it just a tad bit more. I'm going to give it a C plus, but... a lot of it was repetitive, but I just, anytime I see R-Truth, I just can't get enough of him. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad, I just can't get enough of him.
Yeah, and also Tozawa. I just think Tozawa, even when he was serious and he was being dressed down, he was so funny. It was just, you keep wanting to root for Tozawa, so I hope Tozawa gets something to do that's important. It'll be fun to watch. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I'm going to give it a C as well.
All right, so sort of a middle of the road from us. We'll see what ends up happening. I wish the writing wasn't quite so repetitive, and I wish they'd do something more with the women's division. Hopefully they will. We will see you guys on Friday with the weekly wrap-up. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.